did preach. It just didn't preach very long, but I appreciate that. And appreciate the testimonies of the Lord. And I appreciate the songs tonight. I thought about while they were singing that song, I'm living to the age I'm old enough now, though, when that song first came out. And they started singing that song. But I remember especially I preached in a church years ago in the early 70s and mid-70s and late 70s as well. Preached at a church. And their quartet sung that song that went to church there. And the pastor's wife was a member of that quartet. They'd sing that song, get happy, and start shouting. And the whole, like the whole church would get to shouting. I've seen it really, the glory fall. And the dear pastor, his wife that sung in that quartet, she's in heaven tonight and done gone to be with the Lord. And I tell you, it's still real in my soul tonight that there's a Lamb. The song says it's fairer than day, and by faith I can see it afar. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Glad I'm saved by the grace of God tonight. All right, I want to look tonight in the book of Genesis for a text tonight. The book of Genesis. Genesis tonight, I think I'll read verse 1 of chapter 7. And then I want to read verse 15 and 16 of chapter 8. Genesis 7, 1 and Genesis 8, 15 and 16 to try to lay a foundation and preach what I feel like the Lord would have me to preach tonight. And so if you want to read with us, have your Bible and read with us, that's where you can turn to tonight in Genesis 7 and verse 1 and in Genesis 8 and verse 15 and 16. And I do ask humbly for your prayers tonight that God would help me. I don't want to get in the way of the service. Good prayers of the Lord's already been here tonight in the service. But I'll leave these thoughts with you tonight. I trust that God will bless the reading of His Word, and help us to say what needs to be said from this text tonight. Genesis 7, 1, and then we'll look in Genesis 8, verse 15 and 16. Notice the reading of God's Word tonight. In verse 1 of Genesis 7, the Bible said this, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." In the Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 15, the Bible said, "And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons, and thy sons' wives with thee." Let us bow for prayer. Now will you join us as we pray together. Father, we're grateful, we're thankful for, Lord, the privilege to pray tonight. We bow humbly before you, Lord, and ask you how to help us tonight. For without you, we can do nothing. I realize that tonight. But I do thank you for the songs of Zion. I do thank you for the testimonies. I thank you for your presence among us tonight. I thank you, dear Lord, for that Lamb that there'll be no tears. I praise you for that. I thank you, God, for the scripture that you bless us to read from now. I pray you'd add your blessing to the reading of the Word of God. For just a few moments, hide me in the cross. Let me loose out of my step and where I'm at. And immerse my mind and my heart and my spirit in your Word and in your will and ways. I pray you'd give us that unction and utterance that no man's able to preach without tonight. I pray, God, that our Lord, that you'd use us for your honor and for your glory. I pray that your message might go forth in power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I pray tonight that it find lodging in hearts and lives that are here tonight. Oh, God, I pray, Father, for just a few moments that you'd feed the flock of God, that you'd encourage and discourage, strengthen the weak. Lord, I pray we bind our hearts together. I pray for sinners that may be among us that they would be convicted and converted tonight. Oh, Lord, I pray we can leave here better than what we've come. But I would pray you would not leave us like we are, but do that eternal work in our hearts that only you can do. Help us now for Jesus' sake and the glory of God. I strengthen us physically and honor us spiritually. And above everything tonight, get honor and glory to your high and holy name. And what you do, we'll thank you and praise you. For I ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for standing tonight. Now, if the Lord would help me to preach tonight, for just a few moments, I want to preach on the other side. The other side. Someone said there's two sides to every story. I suppose that's true. Some folks have said there's three sides to divorce. His side, her side, and the right side. I suppose that's true. Now, I want to say tonight, I'm thankful there is, my friend, the other side. Now, often you and I live on this side. But I say to you tonight, for us to be victorious, we must live on the other side. Amen. We may reside on this side, but for us to have victory in our lives, we must live on the other side. Now, here in our text tonight, I want to preach, if God would help me, about the other side of the storm. The other side of the storm. Of course, most of you are familiar tonight with this passage, or these passages of Scripture tonight, concerning the man Noah. We understand by reading the Word of God that since creation, man has become so wicked and so vile that the Bible makes the statement that it repented God that He had made man, because man's heart was on evil continually. The Bible said the thought and the imagination of his heart was evil continually. I believe, according to the Word of God, we're to have a repetition of that in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And surely we're there. Surely man is not only wicked and evil, but the very imagination, the very thoughts of his heart are evil continually. Hey friend, I don't know that they had television or internet in that Noah's day, but I'll tell you, our day, that sure adds a lot to the thought and the imagination of man's heart. Amen. Being on evil continually. I want to tell you, friend, it is a day, my friend, of degradation, a day, my friend, of deep-seated sin. Amen. I'm telling you, and I know Brother Powers tonight, Brother C.L., tonight, maybe others tonight, that to have more years upon them than I do. But I tell you tonight, I see in the church where young folks sit in our churches and sit under the power of God and the preaching of the Word of God, and their heart is more hardened than what I used to see grown folks when I started preaching about 34 years ago. I'm telling you, thank God, and it's because of sin and the influence of sin and the fact that, my friend, it's not just a Saturday night thing, and my friend, anymore, or a Friday night thing. But I want to tell you, the thought and the imagination of man's heart is on evil continually. Are you listening to me tonight? God help us, we're bombarded from every side with sin. That's exactly right. God help us. I'm telling you, friend, it's amazing what's going on today. And I remind you that the fornication and adultery that's so prevalent in our society today is only giving way to perversion. We've already seen it. Hey, God, pop up here and there. Hey, God, in homosexuality, lesbianism. I want to tell you, friend, that's just the beginning. Amen. I believe that in these days, before our Lord comes, there'll be such a spirit of perversion that it'll group our society as it was in the days of Lot, when those men surrounded the house where the angels went into and said, send them out. It's strange flesh. It's somebody new. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, I got the sodomite agenda. It's not just to get on equal footing, and it's not to just get government money. My friend, I want to tell you, friend, they'll never be satisfied, my friend, till they have exhausted every avenue of new flesh that they can. I want to tell you that tonight, and may I say to you, the flesh and the desires of the flesh will never be satisfied. You cannot put it out. Thank God, my friend, it's never satisfied. Amen. That's exactly right. And the Bible said they gave themselves over on a strange flesh. I want to tell you, friend, when an individual starts after strange flesh, it brings, my friend, more and more on. Amen. Here's the days of Noah. God said, I'm not going to have it anymore. God said, I'm going to destroy a man who I have created. That's what God said. Amen. And God did destroy it. Amen. If you think God's only a loving God, if you think God is only a God of love, you better look again at the book of Genesis. You better look again at the antediluvian age and realize that God will punish and judge sin. Amen. As a matter of fact, God has to, my friend, because His holiness requires it of Him. Thank God, it's the only way He can respond to sin. Thank God, holiness. And since God is a thrice holy God, the only way He can respond to sin, thank God, is to judge it and is in wrath. Amen. And that's what wrath is. It's God's holiness responding to sin. Hey, hear me, friend. Hey, God, and outside of the shelter of God's grace, outside the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, every individual is subject to the wrath of a sin of engine God. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. I believe that, don't you? I want to tell you, friend, one reason why we're not seeing more of the judgment and the wrath of God on this generation is because of the cross of Calvary, which is the day of grace. Hey, thank God, hear me, friend. And that's withholding and keeping back the wrath and the judgment of God. But don't you mistake the long suffering of God. That's God not paying His debts and God not punishing sin. Hey, friend, I want to tell you, God has set a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He has ordained, whereas He's given assurance unto all men, and that He raised him from the dead. Hey, friend. And He said, I'm going to destroy the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God told him to build an ark and told him exactly how to build it. Amen. What type of wood? How to build it out of? And how high and how wide? I got to build this ark. And Noah builds this ark that God tells him to build. Genesis 6:22 said, Noah did all that God had commanded him. Amen. That's exactly right. Now, there's never been a flood. There's never been rain. There's never been judgment on a full scale like the world is fixing to see. But I tell you, Noah believed God and moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Somebody said, I believe God. You don't believe Him no more than your feet run to Him. You don't believe Him no more than your hands reach out to take Him. Amen. That's exactly right. I want to tell you, friend, there's a lot of folks say they believe, but I tell you, faith without works is dead. And James said, show me your faith. Without your works, I'll show you my faith with my works. Hallelujah. Thank God. Works can never produce faith, but saving faith always produces works. Hallelujah. You can't believe God and actually stay where you're at. And you must run to Him. Amen. And if you don't, there is an evil heart of unbelief inside of you. You may give a mental agreement, hey God, to what's being said. You may give, my friend, a social, my friend, agreement to what's going on. But if you ever are saved by grace and through faith, it'll be when your faith causes you to run to Christ and look to Him and Him alone as your only and all sufficient Savior tonight. Amen. That's right. Now I'll tell you this garbage that's being preached today about faith. And they say faith is like cranking your car. Go out and you believe when you turn the switch, your car is going to crank. That ain't faith. Ain't God not the faith of this Bible. That may be a measure of a carnal faith, but it has nothing to do with saving faith. Hallelujah. Saving faith. Hey, God is hearing from God His Word, what He has said about you, what He has said about Himself, what He has said about judgment, and being so thoroughly convinced of it that you take sides with God against yourself, that you agree with God that He's right and that you're wrong. Hallelujah. It's running to Him as the only one that can save you. It's more than amen in the preacher. It's more than shaking somebody's hand or walking in a baptismal pool. Thank God, it's when your heart and your very life, thank God, looks to Him as the Savior that can redeem you and lift you out of the condition that you're in. I know this is right. Amen. And you can't buy that faith, and you can't develop that faith. Amen. And your parents can't give it to you. Oh, they can show an example of it. Hallelujah. But just because they're your parents don't mean you'll get it. Amen. That's exactly right. Hallelujah. Somebody said, yeah, it'll pass down, not automatically. If it had, Esau would have got it. Amen. But he didn't, and Jacob did. Are y'all listening to me tonight? If it had, Ishmael would have had it. But he didn't get it. Amen. That's exactly right. I'm telling you tonight, faith does come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I don't just mean reading the Bible or reading the tract. And I don't mean just hearing a preacher. You can hear a preacher all your life and never hear the Word of God.
Yes,
hey, friends, it's not really the Word, but it's hearing God in the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God, it's when your spiritual ear gets tuned in and turned on to the right frequency. Thank God. And God convinces you. Oh, hallelujah. That's exactly right. Thank God. Now, my parents formed and shaped the church I was raised in. Formed and shaped a lot of ideals and opinions that I had. But when it comes to salvation, that's between me and God. Hallelujah. And He, through the preaching of the Word, got my attention, spoke to me. Hallelujah. I didn't just hear the Word. I heard the God of the Word. And I heard it so convincingly that I said, yes, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, thank God. Oh, that's why if you disagree, it don't make no difference to me, because you didn't convince me to start with. If you convinced me to start with, you might could unconvince me, but you can't unconvince me, because I heard it from Him. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank God. Hallelujah. And since I've been preaching, I've seen some folks that said they walk this same path. That I walk, quit, and go to the house. I've seen some that's a lot better preacher than I'll ever be. I go to the house and throw it all down and live like they never were saved or called either one. And somebody said, why don't you go to the house? Because I'm convinced. Hallelujah. I heard a word from Him. And done regardless of what anybody else does. I said, I don't say, I'm convinced that this is the right word. Noah was so convinced that he heard him speak one time, and 120 years later, he's still working on an ark. And God had reassured him, not one day. Amen. We're a pitiful bunch of Christians in our day. God tells us something, and 6 weeks later, God, I want some reassurance. Lord, I want to feel you again. If he ever says it, and he said it, and you're convinced of him, ain't God walk by faith and forget what everybody else says or does?
Amen.
And know it walk building and heart, preach righteousness while the world went to hell. Ain't God, but it didn't matter what they said or how they mocked, he had heard from God, and he moved with fear. What are you doing, knowing I'm building an ark? What are you building an ark for? Because God's going to send a storm. God's going to send rain. And I'm prepared enough for the saving of my house.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I want to say this tonight. God didn't, Noah didn't prepare an ark for everybody else. As far as I'm concerned, he prepared it for his family and his family alone. Will y'all listen to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Give them a chance if you want to. Amen. Their chance was 120 years earlier. Amen. God said, my spirit not always strive with man. He quit them that day. I believe God quit them when he gave Noah the blueprint to build the ark. And then the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah till he'd get the ark built. God said to bring judgment the day he spoke to Noah. But he waited, and his long suffering, thank God, was patient till Noah could build the ark. Amen. And Noah built an ark for the saving of his house and condemned the world. Every time he drove a pig in the ark, thank God he's getting his house closer out of salvation, but he's getting the world closer to condemnation. I'll tell you something tonight. Somebody said, y'all up here doing in vain. Thank God. I mean, dropping a bucket of Bremen. This county in this meeting this week. Yeah, it's all right. We're just putting another pig in the ark. Hallelujah. Thank God. And we're getting that much closer to home. Hallelujah. And if anybody wants to believe it, thank God it's here for them. And if they don't, we're just putting another nail in their coffin. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. Hey, I know you preaching for results. I'm preaching because God said preach. I'm building because God said build. Hallelujah. I don't leave it all at rest up to God. That's what I'm doing tonight. That's his business. And mine's just to build an ark. I don't preach the gospel. And the rest is up to God. Amen. Woo.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's exactly right. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
That's right.
Lord, help us. Amen. Now repeat this. I'm done. I didn't even got an introduction. I don't know what this is. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Of course, I grew up in the 70s, and all the preachers I grew up around didn't know nothing about alliteration, and they didn't know nothing about hermeneutics and homiletics, and I know very little. I can't understand it myself. Thank God. They knew nothing about eschatology. Amen. Thank God they had one view of end times, and that's all. Hey, thank God. And they didn't know about introductions to point one, two, and three. But I'll tell you what they could do. They could preach.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank God. And we're so tickled over our outlines of literation that we can't hardly get loose and get a hold of God no more. Hallelujah. And we're tickling our religious minds. Thank God. I wish something somebody else had never said before. Hey, thank God. And half the time it's wrong. Amen. Thank God. I just so we get another appointment, they ought to go back to just wearing black and taking this old black black book and preaching it like it is out of men, women, boys, and girls like they are. Hallelujah.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I want to agree with a statement I heard a preacher say. Thank God. And he said, I think the biggest thing that went wrong with us in the church
is in the 50s we started making the prayer house of God a place of evangelism. Hallelujah. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. From the early church at Pentecost, the church, as it came together from house to house, was not a place of evangelism. It's a place, thank God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, how to get refreshed, how to have fellowship. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. And then to go out and witness and work. Amen. Thank God, and influence people, and God save them. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, sad the day when the church in America became within the four walls of the building.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hey, that's exactly right. Amen. And we struggle to have church, and we think just because we get in the four walls of the building, somehow we get sanctified. Amen. I mean, the women come out of their breeches, and the men come out of their Bermuda shorts, and throw away the cigars, hallelujah, and are bathing suits, and we come in the four walls of the building, and all of a sudden get sanctified. I want to tell you, hallelujah, this ain't the church, this is the building. The old timers called it the meeting house. I want to tell you, you tonight that are saved and believers are the church tonight, and you're not just the church here, on the front pew or the back pew, or the right of the left. You're the church when you're at Walmart. You're the church when you're on the job. You're the church when you're in the community. As a matter of fact, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be here. And what you do in here ain't near as important as what you do out yonder.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And the only job we have, the only service we have, is coming to the local assembly, amen, and serving on some committee. I don't know if I'll ever get this message preached tonight. Hallelujah. Serve on some committee or some board. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. Or teach or do something, amen, that most folks ain't qualified for. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how the set of committee is a group of the unfit doing the unnecessary for the unwilling. Thank God. That's exactly right. And that's what we have in there. That's exactly right. Amen. Thank God. I don't come to church to serve. I come to worship. I come to know. I come to be edified. I come to be perfected. Hey. I come to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. Hey God, I come to get something to help me fight the battles of life. And to face the giants that I don't have to face. Hallelujah. Amen.
Are y'all listening to me?
And I'm not Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I'm not somebody different here tonight and somebody else at the house. And if I am, you know what I am? I'm a hypocrite. Are you listening to me? Amen. That's exactly right tonight. Oh, but too many of us pull off our coat and tie when we get to the house and we're completely different than what we are at the house of God. Hey, I want to tell you, friend, thank God, who you really are. Thank God is who you are when nobody's around you. Nobody can see you or hear you. Hey, that's exactly right. And you do what you want to do. Thank God. I'm an observation. A condemnation from anybody else. That's really who you are.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Man, I don't know how I got this, but I'm in it. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to tell you, thank God you ain't going to face judgment for who we think you are and who you are sitting in this pew tonight. But you're going to face God for who you really are when nobody's looking and nobody's around.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
Yes, sir.
Well, bless his name. Hallelujah. Thank God, God's doing it. Noah moved with fear. Lord, I done preached, I don't know how long, I forgot what time it was when I started now. Hallelujah. God help me. I want to say tonight, I know the move with fear prepared enough for the saving of his house. Oh, he built it just like God said it.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like what Brother Raymond Cook said. When the man and his boys went out looking for gopher wood, and his boys come upon and a tree and it wouldn't go for wood, and he said, "Dad, what about this tree?" He said, "Is it gopher wood?" He said, and they said, "No, it's some other kind." He said, "Leave it on the stump." I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times we ought to leave some stuff on the stump. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what's happening in the Church of America tonight. Thank God we tried to get everything. Thank God that wasn't really material. And when we're in the house of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bless his name. I tell you, if we'll let God work on them on the outside like they did Solomon's temple, they won't have to be so much beating and knocking. Thank God. And tooling on the stones. When they get down the house of God, they'll see it. How do you think I'm doing now? Amen. I'm telling you tonight. He moved with fear because a storm was coming. He built that ark. Took him 100 to 120 years to get her built. And when he got her all built, you know what that Bible said? Come in. Hadn't heard from God in 100+ years. Last thing God said, you build it. And when he got it built, there was God. And said, come in. Hallelujah. And had no reassurance. Thank God, no affirmation from God. Silence. But he heard him one time and that is enough. And when he got her done, God said, come in. I'm in here. Hallelujah. Now you can't house God. But God's presence was in that ark.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And he went in 7 days. Hallelujah. And after 7 days, it began to rain. Now, can you imagine sitting in an ark for 7 days and nothing going on? Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what all the practical application is. I'm sure that's prophetic. I believe it is. Since I ain't a prophecy preacher, I'll just let you preach that. And I'll go on. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. 7 days in that ark. Protected. And then the storm came. Amen. Thank God. It was as prophetic as I'm going to get. And it was translated, Noah spent 7 days in the ark. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And after that, God turn loose the skies. It never had rain, but brother, the storm clouds of God's judgment boiled over. And the rain started falling, and for 40 days and 40 nights it rained. But it wasn't just rain. The fountains of the deep were broken up. And brother, the water covered the entire land. And all that was left, thank God, that was not under the wrath and the judgment of God, was that all on top of the water.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. But she is afloating.
You're right. Yes, sir. Yes.
She is afloating. Who'd ever thought somebody never built an ark would build an ark? And it would face the storm. What was it somebody told? You can't meet Mother Mary at this time. It is an amateur that built the ark. Amen. And it's professionals that built the Titanic. Guess which one floated? Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God. Hallelujah. They said it's unspeakable as the Titanic, but she sunk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the world said it can't float. Hallelujah. But they aren't floating. Woo! The world looks at us tonight and says that ain't rational. That ain't real. Y'all don't have all your marbles. Y'all are a cult. Y'all slipped off the deep end. That preacher's crazy to sweat and slobber. And how do I keep it going? But I'm telling you, we're going to float out of here. We're on the old ship of dying. And we're moving out. Hallelujah. God, I feel like preaching a while. I'm telling y'all, thank God. This thing is a reality tonight. And let the world scoff and mock. We've done heard from the captain. And he's done give us the orders. And he said, come in. We're headed across. Back to the other side. And we are tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
So Noah's in the ark and the rains have come, the storm is on.
That's right.
Now, to me, it looks like the wrath of God has been pent up for 100 to possibly 120 years now. And it's about like I said to someone today, I think, when I went out to town for a minute. I said, it seems like when it don't rain, it can't rain. And then when it starts raining, it can't quit.
Right.
And Brother Allen, when it started raining and God's judgment started falling, that could have been pent up and held back. Man, buddy, when it started coming, it just kept coming.
Right.
And it looked like once it started coming, Brother C.L., that it never would stop.
Yes.
Now, I don't know if his family's safe in that ark. I know they died with those animals and that three stories, but I want to tell you when that thunder is a crushing and that lightning is a popping, I want to tell you when that shoebox shaped, I got boat is out in the midst of that rough storm and that rough water, it's a bobbing and a bouncing them every which way, like a cork in the water.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I got to be in some deep places.
That's right.
Amen. And I'm up in some deep places. And they can't see out because God shut them in. That's what that Bible said. And the only way to look up is up. The only problem is there's a storm on and you can't see through the clouds.
That's right.
They're up above the earth, but they can't see heaven for the storm.
Right.
They can't see heaven for the storm clouds of God's judgment. You ever been there?
Yes, sir.
Safe in the ark that can't see heaven for the clouds. That's where Noah was.
Amen.
Miss Norma to say, husband, ah, will this ever end? Ah, will we come to an end somewhere? No doubt they heard the screams of others. Thank God. And before the water got too high, and she said, where will we end up? Sons, that's the same question. Daughter-in-law's wondering, when is it going to be over with? Hey, but I'm glad there was the other side. Thank God, and there is the other side of the storm tonight. Hey, you may be on this side, or you may be right in the middle of it, but I'm telling you, friend, from your vantage point, it may look dark and rough, but there's the other side to the storm. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Amen. And now if I can take just a minute and God will let me, I'll talk to you about what's on the other side of the storm. And I say, first of all, tonight, on the other side of the storm, oh, there's rest. There's rest on the other side of the storm. Genesis 8, verse 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, on the mountains of Ararat. And I got wrote down here somewhere, and I don't know where in the world I picked it up, but Ararat means an exalted place. Can you imagine that on the other side of the storm, now in the midst of the storm, on the other side of that storm, when you're sitting in the ark 7 days and nothing's going on, you can't imagine, hey God, what a storm's coming. And once you're in the middle of that storm, you can't imagine it being over with. But Lord, on the other side of that storm, there's a place of rest, but not just rest. It's rest in an exalted place. Hallelujah. How the storm looks like sometimes. That takes all the fight out of you. Hey God, I'll put you in a low place. But I'm glad on the other side of the storm. There's a place of rest. And it's at an exalted place. That ark came to rest. Hey God, after all of those days, I'm bouncing here and there. Hey friend, after all those days of seasickness, if you'll have it, there come a day when she found the mountains of Ireland and rested. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, on the other side of your storm, God has a place of rest. Hallelujah. Woo! I don't know how long your storm is, but I know this. The 7 month and the 17th day from the second month and the 17th day. Amen. Looks like to me, if I had up right, that's 5 months. Amen. In the storm. Whether it's 5 months, 5 weeks, 5 years, I'm telling you, there's rest on the other side of the storm. And there's rest in an exalted place.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I don't like being in the storm, but I sure am glad I'm protected in the storm. I'm glad I'm in an arbor of safety. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I mean, I'm glad I'm studying the ark. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, bless His name. What's on the other side of the storm? The other side. There's rest. Well, I'd quit, but I think I need to tell you the rest of this. So I'll tell you what y'all do. Just pretend this is the extra innings. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That might help you. Amen. That might help. I have noticed that folks get excited if it's extra innings, but they sort of get deflated if you go past 12. Are you listening to me? Amen. Hallelujah. I have noticed that folks want the uncut version. Thank God that has something extra that the original did not have. But when you go to preaching, Acts 12, 15, I've been something wrong. Hallelujah.
Down, preacher. Down.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. Hallelujah. And I want to preach, Brother Mitchell, you probably heard it, when he said that man put a quarter in the plate and a little young boy was with him. And he left out of the service after going in and said, got to grumbling and complaining about how bad it was. And the young boy said, I thought it was well worth a quarter. Thank God. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, thank God. I just want to say tonight, that is the other side of the storm. Hey, and there's rest on the other side.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Amen. Not only is there rest, but there is removal. Verse 13, and it came to pass in the 600th and first year of the first month, first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry.
Yes.
Can I say to you, not only was there rest on the other side of the stone, there was a removal. That means he didn't take what was off of the ark to get out, but he took some of the covering. Where he did, I don't know, but he took off where he could look out and see what's going on. Can I say on the other side of the storm, there'll be a removal. If I might pick up what I preached on Monday night, there'll be an eye-opening.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
You know as well as I do, in storms, most of the time, we do not know what's going on.
You're right.
We cannot understand or see. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God, things very clearly. And they had the window, but they couldn't see heaven or the hand of God. And there was no sun shining. But on the other side of the storm, thank God, He removed the covering of the ark and peeked out and said, hey, Miss Noah, it's still here. Amen. Thank God, there is still ground. There is still an earth. There is, thank God. There's still some dirt. Amen. There is some hope. Hallelujah. On the other side of the storm, you'll be able to see what you couldn't see on this side. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody said it. Why can't we see? Because it wouldn't be by faith if you could see it. Hallelujah. There's rest on the other side. There's removal on the other side. May I preach to you tonight? There's replenishing on the other side.
Yes.
By the way, they're in the ark over a year, according to calculations.
Right.
Amen. They're in the ark over a year. Can you imagine? But there was the other side. And on the other side was rest and removal. On the other side was replenishing. Genesis 9:1, God blessed Noah and his sons and sent them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Fruitfulness. Verse 7. Thank God says the same things. Be ye fruitful, multiply. Bring forth abundance in the earth and multiply therein. God said, I want you to replenish the earth. Isn't that amazing? On the other side of the storm, there was fruitfulness. There was a replenishing. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
you'd think that the wrath and the judgment and the flood wiped out any hope of ever being fruit again, ever being replenished again, ain't God ever being multiplied again. But God said, I want you to be fruitful. I want you to replenish this earth. There was that on the other side
of the storm.
May I preach to you tonight, and I'm through. Not only was there rest and removal and replenishing, but there's a rainbow on the other side of the storm. Verses 13 through 17 of Genesis chapter 9, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it come to pass when I bring the cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. I will remember my covenant. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it. God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. There's a rainbow. And that rainbow was a token of a covenant that never again will I destroy the earth with water. With a flood. Never again. Never. Hallelujah. I want to say this, and I'm through tonight. He said, I do set my bow in the clouds, and when you see it, you'll know that I have a covenant. And that's the token of my covenant.
Yes.
But he said, when I set the bow in the clouds, I'll look at it, and I'll remember. May I say to you tonight, every time you look at the rainbow, you better remember there's somebody else looking at that rainbow.
Amen.
I don't mean somebody else on the other side of town. Somebody else in another county that might can see it, but I'm telling you, when you look up to the rainbow, there's somebody looking down.
Yes.
Amen. I ought to make you enjoy the rainbow next time a little more. Thank God, when you're looking up, he said, I'll set my bow in the cloud, and when I see it, I'll remember my covenant. While you're looking up at the bow, he's looking down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Took the storm clouds, it took the rain. Thank God to bring my friend a judgment today. Thank God, but the sun did shine. Hallelujah. And it takes the sun and the rain. It takes the sun and the cloud to make a rainbow. Y'all listen to me. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. But I'm glad in spite of the storm that the sun still came out and the sun still shines. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
Oh, you'll find it all on the other side of the storm. I'm through preaching tonight. I wonder tonight, are you longing for rest? I wonder tonight, are you longing for fruitfulness? I wonder tonight, are you longing for answers, for understanding about your storm? Until on the other side there will be. And there'll be a rainbow. There'll be a token. There'll be a covenant. Huh? I'll say this. When you get through that storm, that'll be the end of that storm. Never be another. Oh, there may be another storm, but never be that storm. It's gone and gone forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is the other side of the storm. You need to pray tonight. You need to get right. If you're not saved, if you haven't heard the voice of God, if you have and haven't responded, come. If you need to look to the other side, live on the other side. Aren't you glad there is an other side? I sure am. I sure am glad there's an other side to the storms. Everybody stand, please. Sister's going to sing or play, whatever. If you need to come tonight, you make yourself...
He is a fountain for a thirsty soul. He is the healer and so much more. When my heart is broken by this world, demands the pieces are mended with one sword hand. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must believe. The great physician's touch is the balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. It's a hand that hung this old world in place, a hand that was scarred just to give me grace. And to think the hand that can hold the stars is small enough to mend one broken heart. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must be is the balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand. It's a hand that hung this old world in place, a hand that was scarred just to give me grace. And to think the hand that can hold the stars is small enough to mend one broken heart. And when I can't stand, I have to lean. And when I can't see, I must be touch is the balm that can mend broken hearts with one scarred hand.
years, and our fathers and grandfathers, Brother Brad, could have never predicted or imagined. I'd like to think otherwise, but I don't. I really do believe we're facing those days. Wanted to see worldwide revival and all that, but don't expect it to happen. Wish it would, but don't expect it to happen. What I am trying to do is to build an ark for the sake of my house. Try to make a difference in the people that I come in contact with. And I'm thoroughly convinced and thankful that though we may be sailing out of water today, that the old ship of Zion will land safely in a place of rest. And every single person that the Lord has shut in should know they can lay through to the other side.
Yes, yes.
Some Lord, yeah. Take them to the
Yes.